Hello, Paula, and welcome to this new episode of Knowing Journeys. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hi, Irene, and thanks to you for the invitation. It's a pleasure.
We take off with the pre-Socratic philosopher who used to ask themselves about us, about the human beings. So, Paula, who are you?
So, as you said, I'm Paula Martinez Urios. I am 27 years old. I come from Spain, from Madrid, initially, because afterwards I moved a bit around the world. You start very philosophically, so I think that I still have the doubt of how philosophically you want me to deep in. But
you can go deeper if you want to.
Okay. Okay, so my theory is that we are still kind of, or at least I am, work in progress in a sense. I am a person that has certain values, ethical values, or I mean, a certain character. But at the same time, I think that the experiences and the people that surround me are still making me the person that I will be in a couple of years or in the future. So let's say that today I am kind of the baggage of the past, shaped on the basis of some values that are kind of, let's say, my core. But well, I think that if we have this interview in a couple of years, I will certainly tell you something different about who I am.
Okay, let's talk about that past that you have mentioned. So what did you study in Madrid?
So I studied civil engineering. There's a specialization that is called hydraulics and energy inside civil engineering, which is kind of what got me, I think, inside a bit of a trap that I afterward liked as well. I studied that, but today I have a bit of doubts. Well, I had doubts already when I started studying, because it has a bit of a more construction focus than I was expecting. Maybe I should have done a bit of research before going into that. But well, afterwards I realized that the main reasons why I chose the path were a mix of my interest and what I liked to study, and also what I wanted to do with it. So I always thought that I always liked doing cooperation. So I thought that with those studies, it would allow me to do it. And at the same time, I also could imagine liking a lot of the work. However, since it had a bit more of a construction focus than I was expecting, I will leave soon, actually, CERN, to do a master in energy.
And how did you arrive to CERN?
I arrived to CERN a bit of a mess, like my interview was when I was at CERN, or when I was in Geneva already. I was working in an architecture studio in the construction management department. So actually my interview with my supervisor was Skyping, but in the same city. And then I had to go to Spain to finish some part of my studies, some subjects that I had. And then I came back in August 2017, a bit in the middle of a mess, like right after from an entrepreneurship course. And, you know, one of these times that you just go from one spot to the other. And then the next day to the one that you arrive in the city, you have to go work for the first time. And actually, I remember from that day that at some point it was 6 p.m. and my supervisor, we were having a meeting with my supervisor and a colleague in my team, and then he said something like, Paula, your eyes are very red, are you tired? And I was literally dying, I think, like from the mix of languages, of changing suddenly to speaking in English and French the whole day, and I was completely destroyed. I was like, well, maybe a bit. So well, that's a bit how I arrived.
So let's move to the future. I'm going to dream big. I'm going to imagine myself writing a novel in a nice house located in Costa da Morte in Galicia. And now I would like to know, what are your dreams, Paula?
Okay. I think that when you dream, you're in a sense trying to look for your path to happiness. And we all have dedicated some time probably to think what happiness means to us. And especially now also that we had this COVID time, that we had probably more time to dedicate to ourselves than in our other periods of our life. And I think that I kind of guide myself very often by intuition, and I let myself go a bit. And I think that it has been good. It has been, in a sense, I think that it makes me grow as a person. And I think that making me grow as a person is what defines my happiness, in a sense. And when I try to think of how I grow up as a person, it is thanks to the people that surround me, to the people that I admire, and to new experiences that, like it is very much said, that get me out of the comfort zone. So when I imagine happiness, I think that there's no clear path, but I mean, when you ask me about my dream, and here I'm coming back to your question, I think that my dream is just to be happy like everyone in life. And yes, I have some dreams that I wanted to fulfill, and that little by little I think that I achieve in one or the other way. Like I always said that I liked skiing a lot or diving a lot, and then I became ski instructor or rescue diver to kind of dedicate that part to my hobbies. But I think that there's no one dream. It's just, I mean, I just dream to have happiness. And well, so far, I think I'm dealing with it well. And I just hope, like, I dream to just continue in that path and making sure that I think maybe I dream with finding always that thing that makes me grow as a person. And I think that when you start working life, I don't know, it's not always easy to make choices and to put a direction to your path. So just, I mean, dreaming with continuing with a path that makes me happy is quite a dream.
So these last things that you've mentioned remind me to some verses from a poet, which is also from Madrid, from the south of Madrid. And I would like you to read those verses and also tell us what do they suggest to you.
Okay. The poem from Susana Obrero says, "Estamos en todo lo que no sabemos. Estamos en el lugar donde perdimos las escamas." I can tell that now I have this... this skin, I don't know how it's called in English, piel de gallina. It makes you think, certainly, and I think that to each person it will suggest something different. To me, in my case, it reminded me a lot to, actually not to Madrid, but to Istanbul, which is the place where I did my Erasmus. And it gets mixed a bit with a feeling of another sentence, which is the one of, it's from a song from Sabina, like I'm sure that you know it, is the one of, "Al lugar donde has sido feliz, no debieras tratar de volver." And to me, the poem, when it says, we are everywhere in what we don't know, in the unknown, it reminds me to Istanbul because I spent there 10 months and still I had the feeling that I did not discover even 1% of what the city had to give. And in a sense, it also, like, I kind of got lost and a part of me stayed there and will always stay there. And it's where I lost my, I have no idea of how to say escamas in English.
Don't worry, me neither.
Okay. So it's a bit where I lost part of them as well. And yes, it gets mixed with that sentence of Sabina that I very often keep in my mind, because you sometimes try to, like, you wonder whether you should go back to that place where you are experiencing, like, where you are being very happy. And to me, that place where I lost part of my escamas and where I wonder very often whether I should go back, well, it's not only Istanbul, but it's Madrid, it's Istanbul, and it will be Switzerland, I'm sure. So I think that part of myself and part of us is in those places where we lost part of our escamas.
And because beauty is also subjective, I would like to know, what is beauty for an engineer like you?
Okay, this is another very hard question, I think. No, I was trying to, like, I'm trying to think a bit. And to me, the first thing that when I think of beauty, I kind of tend to think of something really basto in Spanish. It's like brute in English, I guess. I don't know what the word is. Let's say something that is at its full nature and it has not been shaped yet. That is the initial idea that comes to me. So, for example, like, okay, the color, if you want, that comes to me is green. And at the same time, then I think, for example, of Istanbul that I was telling you about. And I mean, there's some stuff that, like, it's man-built and it's just beautiful. So to me, beauty, if I have to define it somehow, is that characteristic of something, and by something it's really anything, that you can observe for as long as you as is needed, and I mean that you can observe forever, basically, that you would like just to stay observing it. And observing means, if it's a song, to listen to it, if it's nature, to look at it, if it's a person, to just be with the person. And it's so subjective because it's really linked to the feelings that the thing that is beautiful brings you, that it's very hard to define. But it's, I think that the common thing for everyone is that we can just stay observing it for as long as we want.
Yeah, that was a good definition. I totally agree with that last thing of paying attention and that you feel that you can stay there as much time as possible. Yes. Like no rush with beauty.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm going to ask you one last thing in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And it's if you could teach people from other nationalities a proverb from your homeland, which one would it be?
Super easy question, Aiden. No, bad. No, it's hard to think because also, in a sense, now I have not been in Spain for so long that I sometimes even tend to think that I'm forgetting the Spanish proverbs. And I have to really go back in time to think of what my parents were telling me or stuff like this. The one that popped up and like I did not think about it for a long time, but there's something that my father was telling me when I was a kid and that I think that had some influence on me. And I'm sure that it exists, by the way, in other languages. I'm not sure if it's Spanish, but it's lo perfecto es enemigo de lo bueno. And it is important, or I mean, how it shaped me as well. Like when I was a kid, I tended to be kind of perfectionist with some stuff. And then you really realize that if you want to be good, it is not efficient sometimes to be perfect. And it is important to keep that in mind because as long as life passes by, I think that the more precious thing that we have in life is time. And you have to learn that even if some stuff you want to do it very good, the perfect level is actually a bit below perfection very often. So yes, I think that in a sense it explains part of like what shaped me, something that I had to learn to assume, and that today I think that I support to 100%.
Remember, there's another one last thing about Spain, and it's because our previous surname, Elisa, she wanted to know if you can only bring one thing from Spain, just one thing, which one would it be?
Okay, I mean, the thing that I miss the most is the environment of a concert in Spain, or of a concert or of a festival, or really, like, I was watching some weeks ago and a lot during the quarantine. There's this one, you're going to like it because I know that you're a fan of Galicia. And you probably know Xabel López.
Yes.
I'm about to interview you now, Irene.
Yes, you are discovering me with this interview. Yes.
So there's a very cool concert that is filmed in Madrid in Sala Bat, Xabel López and Zahara, that they have several songs put together, let's say. And it's just before the song starts, there's, okay, what we would call in Spanish, un buen rollo. Like before they start the song, they're just chatting for, I don't know, 4 minutes or so in front of everyone and just laughing, you know, and that environment that I just cannot imagine in Switzerland, you know. I have gone, I was last year in the Musique d'été, the summer concerts in Geneva, and I remember we were seeing a very famous fado singer. And at some point, you always know that, like, the singer is going to do as if she leaves and then she comes back. And that's how it happens in Spain. It's how it happens in Portugal. And it's how it happens in the South, you know. And then when she did that, half of the people left the place. And they were thinking, like, come on. Yes, this is not how it worked. And then you see that, I mean, when you go to concerts here, it's just so easy to get on the first row. It's almost unfair for the singer, you know. So that buen rollo before the song starts and between the singers, you know, that to me, I think if the one thing that I miss from Spain definitely is just going to a concert. Like I discovered Xabel López in my last trip to Madrid before the quarantine. And I, like, my brother had told me to listen to songs, but of course I did not take the time. And I just went there. And even without knowing him before, I'm a super fan now of him. And I really enjoy it. So it's that magic of the concert environment.
Okay, and I'm going to change the order of the interview, but now if you could recommend us a song, which one would you choose?
Again, it's very hard, and I was about to give you one of Zoe López, but to me, maybe is Mediterráneo. And yeah, there's a part also that talks about when it says de Algeciras a Estambul, para que pintes azul. There's a part that makes me feel identified with that song. And you know, one thing from Istanbul, and that made me think that I would never adapt to Switzerland, despite the fact that that was later on not fully true. So when I made the choice of my Erasmus list, there I dreamt big as always, and then they gave me something like my sixth option, which was Istanbul, and I was like, damn, what is going to happen now? My father's face was priceless. And then they gave me the chance to take my fifth option, and I spoke with a guy that had done Erasmus in the same city the previous year, and he said something that was the definition of my Erasmus experience. And he said, Istanbul is similar enough to Spain to not miss it, and different enough to surprise you every day. And that was so absolutely true, because in Istanbul, you kind of felt the culture of the Mediterranean. And that's part of what makes us really feel at home. So I didn't feel at all that I was outside of my home. Like, I really felt very, very much warmly welcome. And at the same time, Istanbul has something very special that is really such a big, big city that every day you have something in the day that you say, like, oh my God, this is the first time in my life, and I hope the last. Sometimes this would happen. And really, the everyday life was so intense and so surprising, you know, that you felt that you were living to the fullest.
And now, instead of a song, if you could recommend us a film or a TV series?
The one TV series that, I mean, it's kind of its fault that I'm not watching TV series anymore, is Friends. It's a classic. And I mean, really, like, after Friends, every series that people have recommended, it's just not the same. I mean, I tend to compare it, and no, it just cannot make it. You know, there's a thing when you finish the last chapter of Friends that you start thinking, like, what am I going to do now at nap time every weekday? And think we could replace that ever again.
I just started watching Friends during the quarantine. I'm still in season 5. So I'm not sure if I want to finish after what you've told me, because I think you are the third person to recommend us Friends.
Really? Okay. It's good that I didn't listen to the other interviews. I did not watch it during the quarantine, but I have to say, maybe I should have. I tried to develop myself in other areas, in the reading area a bit more, but I think that I would not mind to watch Friends like again and again and again.
And finally, if you could only recommend us a book, which one would it be?
It's hard to say also, because I think that some books I read it at a certain moment in my life, and that's where, like, they had an impact, and I did not necessarily read them again. So I can tell you one that I liked recently that a friend recommended me. It's a nice one, but I tell you that one after the interview, because I can only choose one. So the one that I would choose is El Cazador del Desierto. It's like The Desert Hunter from Lorenzo Silva. And it's a book that I read some years ago. And I don't know, I guess that I felt myself identified with that book back in time, and I really enjoyed it. And at the same time, I cannot tell you anymore what it is about in depth, because I really have bad memory, and why reading it again when at that moment it was just perfect, like it fitted perfectly for that moment in time. And I think that if I read it again, like I would not mean so much maybe at this moment in time. So voila, that's my recommendation. Maybe not for everyone at every age, for sure, but that was my recommendation back in the time, yeah, and today.
It's time for relax. Now you're not going to be the interviewee anymore. And you are the interviewer now, so you have the possibility to raise the question you want for our next journey.
Okay. Poor of him or her, because I'm going to make the person think a bit. But you can tell them that they have some time to think as well. So I was speaking at the beginning of the interview that to me happiness is that way to develop myself, to grow as a person. So I would like the next interviewee to tell us a bit about an experience or a person or whatever thing that made them, that supposed for them a growth, a personal growth that kind of changed or shaped their life a lot.
Wow. Poor hair.
Yes. Oh my God. Is it Marian? Because okay, I don't want to.
I will say it to you off the record, but okay. poor girl.
Okay.
So thank you very much, Paula. That was all. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot as well. Thanks to you, Irene. Thanks a lot. You make us open ourselves more than you probably expect. It was a very nice experience, I have to say.